This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening around the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I am still the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here, right here at the studios of KBC to be the managing partner of your life. We are all about the intersection of law and life. And today, unfortunately, once again, Carrie Kasem, my co-host, cannot be with us. She is gallivanting around the country, helping others in need who are trying desperately to see their ailing parents, as she tried so desperately to see her father, Casey Kasem, when he was sick and unfortunately passed away. So, Carrie, all the luck in the world as you go around the country passing bills and doing everything, but we miss you here at Gervy's Law. Come back to L.A. It's going to start getting cold in other parts of the country, and you need to be in the warmth of the Gervy's Law studio. For those of you who missed last week's show, it was really quite incredible. Alan Dershowitz, Harvard Law professor emeritus, had a lot to say about the election, about Hillary Clinton, about Donald Trump, about Israel, about Black Lives Matter. And you can listen to that show on the podcast. Go to rgwlawfirm.com. That's rgwlawfirm.com to hear what Alan Dershowitz had to say last week on Gervy's Law. He even went toe-to-toe with Christopher Darden, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, had some choice words for Alan Dershowitz. Both of them, of course, involved in the OJ trial. And Alan Dershowitz answered back and said that Christopher Darden was incompetent. But you'll have to hear the rest of the show to hear that whole debate. Again, that's rgwlawfirm.com. We are going to change speeds today because last weekend, the NFL season went into full swing, and it was an exciting weekend. This weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, I am sure we're going to see some great stories, some great football on the field, and maybe some politics as well, as we know we've been experiencing over the last few weeks. Thanks to Colin Kaepernick. And if you want to hear my take on Colin Kaepernick and the First Amendment and the NFL, listen to last week's show because I had something to say about that. And Alan Dershowitz did as well. So if you want to hear two lawyers' takes on the whole thing, listen to Gervy's Law last week. So today we're going to change gears. We're going to talk about law and we're going to talk about football. There's a lot that the two have in common. And then we're going to also talk about a new book that everyone needs to get to read because it's really pretty entertaining and informative. It's called Eat My Schwartz, Our Story of NFL Football, Food, Family, and Faith. And it is by a huge tandem, Jeff and Mitch Schwartz. Jeff and Mitch Schwartz are NFL linemen. Jeff is the older brother, and Mitch is the younger brother, and Mitch is currently playing for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Jeff, he will have a team to play for, I'm sure, soon, but was recently released by the Detroit Lions, and again, I am no fan of the Detroit Lions, so they made a mistake, but Jeff was smart. He did play for the Minnesota Vikings in 2012, so I give credit for that. We do have a legal connection because Jeff and Mitch's mother is a very accomplished lawyer in her own right, so we can talk about that. We're going to talk about contracts. We're going to talk about the book. We're going to talk about football. We're going to talk about issues in football. We are putting Jeff Schwartz and Mitch Schwartz on the hot seat. Jeff, Mitch, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
It's great to have you. First of all, Mitch, I got to start with you because last week Kansas City had a big victory. They came back after they were down considerably in the fourth quarter and won it in overtime. But that's not the most important part of this. The most important part is when Alex Smith ran into the end zone in overtime, who was he behind? There he was, number 71, Mitch Schwartz, making the way, opening up the hole, taking care of the linebacker so that Alex Smith could score that touchdown. Congratulations on that. What kind of feeling was that to look behind you and see Smith in the end zone?
Thank you. Well, it was awesome. You know, obviously that was a big play there, third and goal from the two. And, you know, Alex just being able to fight through there, getting through some traffic and getting us the touchdown for the victory. And then, you know, you saw him kind of running around the end zone after, showing all sorts of emotion. And it was just really exciting. I mean, it was great. It was a great moment for him, a great moment for the team. And we just, we really had a good time celebrating that.
Were you depressed when you were going through the game and realizing that the lowly San Diego Chargers, I won't say lowly, but were so far ahead? Like, how do you keep your head in the game so you can win it in overtime like that?
Well, it's not the best feeling, obviously, when you get down like that. But I think the key thing is to kind of just keep playing. I mean, this day and age, you know, there's so many games that come back from behind, and it seems like, you know, even just a few years ago, you know, 7 or 10 was about the most you could come back from. But now teams are routinely coming back from 14, 17, upwards of, you know, 20 and 21 points. So the key is just, I mean, going back out there, just keep doing your job. I mean, as an offensive lineman, you're out there protecting your quarterback and protecting your running back. So regardless of the score, you're pretty focused and locked in on doing your job. You know, otherwise you're letting one of those guys down.
It's truly never over until it's over, especially in the NFL these days. Now, Jeff, you showed a lot of support. I looked at your Twitter feed, and you were very supportive of your brother, Mitch, when they won that game. How is it cheerleading, so to speak, when you want to be out on the field?
You know, it's not that tough to watch my brother play without wanting to be out there. You know, I've watched him play now for a couple of years, and I always just enjoy, just seeing him do his thing. I'm not always worried about how I'm going to play, but I like to watch him get out there and play, and I send him little notes, and he gets all of them when the game's over, and we have a good time with it.
So on last weekend's Sunday, Detroit Lions also came up with a big victory. They beat Indianapolis. And I noticed that you did tweet about that as well. So you have no resentment toward the Lions for releasing you at the last minute before the first game? Or is it just the camaraderie with the guys in the dressing room that you played with during the preseason?
No, I don't have any resentment for the Lions. You know, I knew going in what my role was there. And they were as gracious as you can be in cutting somebody. I mean, I've only been cut a couple times. So, you know, they did it, I guess, as well as it could be done. So I don't really resent them at all. I mean, I wish I would have made a team, and I wish I could be out there contributing. But, you know, I mean, I watched the Lions yesterday. I watched the Giants. And obviously I watched my brother play.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because you bring up a point. A lot of people love to get into the heads of NFL players and find out what it's really like behind the scenes. You said that they did a good job of cutting you. What's a good job of cutting you?
It's when they're honest about what happened. I've been cut before where I got no reason why. I mean, I sort of knew why, but I pressed on the reason why and never got that. And with the Lions, they were honest with me, and it's all you can ask for. You know, you're losing your job. It's already happening. I'm not going into that meeting to try to convince them to keep me. But at the minimum, I just wish they could be, you know, honest with me about the situation, and I thought the Lions did a good job with that.
And who is it that breaks the news to you when you say they're honest? Who is the one who's being honest?
What happens is you get a call from an intern. It tells you to come in and bring your playbook. I knew I was getting cut that day anyway. I just had a feeling anyway. So I was already in the facility on the way. And then the GM and the head coach talk to you.
So an intern is the one who you get the call from?
Yes.
Wow. That can't be a good feeling. Now, does everyone get that kind of treatment where the GM comes and speaks to you, or is it because you have established yourself as a top-notch NFL lineman in the past, playing for a number of teams and have had big contracts? Did you get special treatment?
No, the GM talks to everybody. I don't know how honest he is with everybody. I mean, I press for answers a little bit, maybe. You know, some guys might just accept it, and I did accept it. It's not like I went in there to convince them otherwise, but I like to think that they're honest with everybody. I don't know if that's the case. I've never really asked anybody else who's been cut how their meeting went. I mean, at that point, you know, you just you're off the team, so you try to get out of the facility as fast as possible. I was probably in and out in 10 minutes.
And then do you start thinking about the future and another team picking you up?
Yeah, right away. I mean, you know, as soon as you get released, you're on to the next team. You know, just like when they release you, you know, you're off their radar as well. So it's mutual.
In this case, and we have a lot to talk about today because we're going to talk about the book Eat My Schwartz, Our Story of NFL Football, Food, Family, and Faith. We're going to talk about some contracts. We're going to do that after the break. But before we take a break, Jeff, tell me, have you had an update from your agent? Are there teams after this first weekend, maybe with some injuries, that are looking into bringing you in?
I hope so. I don't know quite yet. It's still in the early stages of the week. And, you know, the teams will go through the process of evaluating injuries and seeing what their needs are. And then, you know, they'll call my agent and then he'll call me. So no, nothing really yet.
And Mitch, when we talk about Kansas City, I know in the past you said, and of course you I think you have to say it, that your line's pretty solid. But wouldn't Jeff look good in a Chiefs jersey once again, because he did play for Kansas City in 2013?
Yeah, man, we think, you know, it'd be really cool to be able to play together before it's all said and done. But you know, that's something that's a little bit out of our control. But that would be a cool thing. I mean, there's probably so few brothers that actually get to play together, let alone, you know, play the same position. So that would be a cool experience if it happened, but like I said, it's just something that's, you know, so out of our control.
As another benefit, of course, you guys could be in the kitchen making food together, because a lot of Eat My Schwartz talks about the food that you both enjoy. Talk about your faith as Jewish NFL players. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to be back after this message. We're talking to Mitch Schwartz of the Kansas City Chiefs and Jeff Schwartz, his brother, the brother Schwartz. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Why do 8 out of 10 drivers prefer Lyft over the competition? Could be that you earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car during hours you choose. Give enough rides each week and you can keep up to 95% commission. That's right, 95%. Better yet, we'll start you off with a $500 bonus. That's right, $500 for each new Lyft driver in Los Angeles. And you'll only earn more from there. Whether you're putting money toward a mortgage, saving for vacation, or just looking for a better way to earn, choose Lyft. Apply at lalyft.com. That's lalyft.com today. While you jot that down, here's another fun fact. Lyft is the only app that allows tipping, and 60% of our rides tip the driver. Because at Lyft, drivers come first. Be your own boss, pick your own schedule, and get paid weekly. Experience the difference of Lyft and pocket that $500 bonus by applying at lalyft.com today. Terms apply.
Okay, here we go. Drive home promo, take one. Hey, it's Jillian Barbary, and how do you want me to say in the beginning?
On the next drive home.
Okay.
Here we go. Take two.
Coming up on the drive. Blah, blah, blah.
Take three.
Coming up on the drive home. John, I can never do these. Oh, I'm not going to be able to do it.
You're telling me.
You.
Just listen in between 3 and 6 on talk.
Can I just add that now?
Sure.
Okay.
Take whatever.
Talk radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, great job, Jill.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
That's right. You are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. News Talk Evolved. That's what they're calling this now, News Talk Evolved. So we're going to evolve too, even though I think we've been pretty evolved over the last few years here on Gervie's Law. We've had some of the greatest lawyers, entertainment people on the show. But we're evolving every day, and apparently this station is too, with News Talk Evolved. Today we are speaking with Mitch Schwartz and Jeff Schwartz, two brothers, NFL football players, Jewish brothers in the NFL. Now, guys, I got to ask you, hasn't it been, since, what was it, 1923, the last time there were two Jewish brothers in the NFL? Jeff?
Yeah, it's been a while, so we feel pretty honored to be the next set of Jewish brothers. Hopefully it doesn't take another 90 years for there to be another one.
Yeah, we hope not. And you guys, we want to make clear that you're real Jews. You're not like these fake Jews that live in California, that know nothing about Judaism, don't practice their faith. You actually grew up in a family where they celebrate Hanukkah, they have Passover, you've gone to shul or synagogue. So you are the real deal. When you talk in your book, you talk about recipes. And, of course, they have some wonderful recipes. The book's called Eat My Schwartz. And in the back of the book, they start off with the post-game dining with grandmother's Hanukkah latkes, which are just mouth-watering. So tell us why and how it was that you developed this faith growing up.
Well, I think it starts with our parents, obviously. You know, they led us, up to the temple, essentially. And we went to Hebrew school a couple times a week, even up to 3 times a week. And, you know, we went to synagogue, and then we got bar mitzvah. So it just was part of our life ever since we were young.
And, Mitch, the book is dedicated to Norman Schwartz, your grandfather. What did you learn from your grandfather growing up?
I mean, he was always very supportive of us. I think, you know, I think looking back, the biggest takeaway is that he was our biggest fan and really anything that we did, and he just wanted the best for us and, you know, great success, whether it was sports or in school or just in life. So he was always our biggest fan, and, you know, we always knew that we had someone to cheer us on.
Did you grow up in an environment where education was important? Of course, Jeff, you went to University of Oregon, and Mitch, you were at Berkeley. Cal, it seems to me that your parents, your mother's an attorney, your father's a consultant, must have instilled in you a lot of importance in education and perhaps football secondary, or am I wrong?
No, I'd say that's correct. You know, that something that they had preached, you know, from a young age is getting good grades, doing well in school. You know, there's a brief time there that we got some, you know, TV privileges revoked because our grades weren't up to par. So, you know, they've always been big on that for us. And, you know, the football thing, I don't think, you know, when you're a young kid, that's really something that they look towards. You know, we didn't start playing until high school anyway. So, you know, they wanted us to have a great education, to be able to really do what we wanted to do, you know, in the business world. And we kind of just fell into the whole football thing. So they were always on it from an early age. And, you know, we kind of got lucky with the football aspect of it. But they made sure that, you know, if the sports thing didn't work out, that we would be well-educated and we would have opportunities, you know, in the real world.
And, of course, you both grew to be large men. Mitch, 6'5", 320 approximately. Jeff, 6'6", 340. So was it pretty clear that when you did start playing football in high school that this may be a way to earn a living? Jeff?
You know, I never imagined I'd play football. I was a good baseball player. That's always what I thought I'd do. And then the football offers started rolling in, and I kind of had to decide whether I wanted to pursue that or try to do the baseball thing. So, you know, I never really kind of assumed I'd play in the NFL. I got to college, and I played all right, and then I had a bad injury my junior year and didn't play very well. So I really didn't know what to expect in my, going my senior year of college and what the future is. I mean, I think I always thought I'd play in the NFL. I just never really realized how tough it is and the road to get there and what it takes. And now, you know, I'm going my ninth season, so I've done pretty well for myself.
Absolutely. Now, Jeff, I just want to know, when did you get an idea to write this book, Eat My Schwartz? Was it Mitch and you just hanging out and talking about it, or did a publisher come to you? How did it all come about, and what was the genesis of the book?
Yeah, we have a very kind of tight-knit group of advisors, I guess you would say. My agent was kind of a silent partner of ours, my parents, and you know, our original goal, and still is a goal, is to get a cooking show. And, you know, my brother, I love to cook. I think it'd be really awesome and really fun, and we have a great time and we entertain people. So the book was kind of a starting point. And I think once we got that fact of the first Jewish brothers in 1923, you know, we really thought of our lives and looked back and reflected and realized how unique our upbringing is for NFLers. And we thought it'd be, you know, a good story to share. And obviously, you know, the publishers agreed with us.
Now, did you have any conflicts, Mitch, when you were writing this book? Obviously, you have to work together, and in the book, you differentiate between Jeff and Mitch and ideas and opinions. So obviously, when you have two people at it, you can have a little bit of brotherly love with some conflict. Did that occur with this book?
Not really. I think, you know, the cool thing that we enjoy about our relationship is it's more supportive than it is, you know, really competitive or anything. I think we just want the best for each other. You know, it's never been a thing where one of us gets jealous of the other or looks down at the other. It's always been one where we just really hope for the best for the other and hope things work out. So kind of throughout the whole process of the book, it was similar. You know, we try to think of, you know, funny stories that included the both of us, or maybe, you know, one of us remembered something that the other didn't. And it was just a fun kind of collaboration to go through childhood memories together.
Now, I played sports growing up, obviously not professionally, but I played a lot of baseball. And there were situations where there was anti-Semitism. I remember when I was a star pitcher when I was 13 years old for the Lord Roberts Beavers. And I had my bar mitzvah, and I had to miss the game. It was June 21st, and I had to miss the game. After I came back after my bar mitzvah, I never pitched again. My coach pulled me, and I played the bench. Did you guys ever experience any type of anti-Semitism, or have you in the dressing room? Are there NFL players who, by mistake, have some kind of slur about Jews?
I have not experienced it. I've been in a lot of locker rooms. You know, what I think we both get is questions about the faith, the religion. People seem curious. We both got in the comment that we are the first Jewish person that individual has met, which, it's probably not true, but, you know, maybe we're the first openly Jewish, or we talk about it, I don't know.
Right. And also, you grew up in West L.A. Everyone has met Jewish people, but you're playing with players who grew up maybe in the Deep South where there wasn't a Jew around for miles.
Yeah, well, the one that comes to mind, I had a buddy who grew up in West Texas with one stoplight in his town. So, he was one who asked me, you know, a bunch of questions. And most guys are, you know, pretty cool about it. I've never really experienced any anti-Semitism. A trainer of mine used to joke that I'm joining the team, not playing for it. That was funny, though. And otherwise, that's about it.
You know, that's kind of surprising to hear, because we hear so much conflict that goes on, especially with perhaps blacks and whites, and now with everything that's going on with
Colin. That's not true, though.
Don't tell me about that, because the public doesn't get to go into the locker room, and apparently there seems to be a lot of division as to people who are putting their hands over their hearts during the national anthem, players, and then there are other players who are sticking up a fist with a black glove on it.
Look, I mean, what it comes down to is winning games on Sunday, right? So we care about that. What guys do in their own free time, how guys feel socially or politically on subjects, yes, it gets talked about a little bit, but, you know, it's not talked about often. And if guys want to make social stands, then more power to them. But, you know, as long as they are able to play on Sunday, I don't think anybody in the locker room really worries too much about it. I've never really been in a locker room that's been racially divided. I think that's I don't know where that narrative starts. Mitch can speak on this a little bit, too. I mean, I've never really had any issues with race in the locker room.
Mitch, let me ask you this. Is it right for politics to enter the equation here when most fans just want to watch you play football? They want to see Alex Smith dive into the end zone from the 2-yard line in overtime. Do they really want to see the political stances that players take? And why isn't the NFL doing anything about it? Is the NFL afraid? Because we know that they're telling people that tell you what to do. You can't wear certain things. You can't put stickers on your helmet. What if you put the Star of David on your helmet? The NFL wouldn't let that go. So why aren't they stepping in, and why isn't this a problem?
Well, I think, you know, with the recent stuff, this is something that guys have the right to do what they want to do. You know, you can't really penalize someone for expressing their feelings. You know, what you're talking about are more kind of jersey infractions or uniform infractions or things that NFL, you know, has a concrete policy on. We want everyone to look uniform. I mean, that's why it's called a uniform. So in terms of the, I think that we're human beings. We're not, you know, robots out there who are just out there playing football. You know, we're human beings too. Everyone has feelings on what's going on in their life, you know, what circumstances go around with their family and their community. So I think to kind of shoehorn us into the, you know, these guys only play football, they should stick to that. Well, at the end of the day, we're humans too. So I don't think, you know, having an opinion on any sort of topic is anything that should be shied away from.
Have the Chiefs got together as players and talked about what they would do during the national anthems as the Seahawks did last weekend?
Yeah, and, you know, something that this past week that we did, you know, we all got together and locked arms just, you know, showing that we're all in it together. And, you know, we all, you know, love the country that we're in, but there are some things that, you know, people want addressed and things that, you know, the president's talking about every day, that things that need to be changed. So, you know, there's a lot of learning to be done as well. You know, there's going to be some stuff in the community as well that we want to get some information on and just find out. You know, we have such a great platform to actually affect things and make a change. And so you want to learn as much as you can about it and see what you can do to create positive change going forward.
Jeff, we have to take a quick break, but I'll just ask you this before the break. Have you spoken to your parents about political issues? Because we're talking about Eat My Schwartz, our story of NFL football, food, family, and faith with Jeff and Mitch Schwartz. And Jeff, you said that you spoke to your parents about writing the book. Do you speak to them? And of course, they're well accomplished in their own right. Your mom working for Greenberg Glusker, a very fine firm in employment law, and your dad having a consulting firm on his own. Do you speak to them about the political issues that come up in the NFL?
Yeah, I talk to my parents about everything, so yeah.
And do they have any advice for you? Do they say stay out, or do they say...
No, I'm 30. I have my own family. They let me do what I say.
I got to tell you something, Jeff. They may let you do what you say, but however old you are, parents always have something, especially Jewish parents.
No, I get advice
Jewish
from my parents all the time.
To say.
After I say something, not before. So, you know, I'm opinionated, and I will make sure that I give my opinion, but I'm able to back it up, and I feel convicted in what I say, otherwise I won't say it. So, you know, I never really have a problem with that.
And, of course, if you want to hear his opinions, you should check out his Twitter feed. It's Jeff Schwartz. And we're with Mitch and Jeff. We're going to be right back. We're talking NFL. We're going to talk about contracts, concussions, and some other C words after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Whether they work hard, play hard, or lounge their way through the day, pets are part of your family and your best friends. Tractor Supply is having a sale in their honor. From September 14th through the 18th, it's Pet Appreciation Week. You'll find great deals on brands like Blue Buffalo, Purina, Taste of the Wild, and Science Diet. Plus, save on crates, beds, litter, and other pet supplies. Big, small, scrappy, or snuggly. Tractor Supply has everything your best friend needs for life out here at prices you'll really appreciate.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew.
And I'm Mike Catherwood.
And on the next Midday Live, I'm joined by my friend, the birther, Mike Catherwood.
President Barack Obama was born in this country. Let's get over it. Enough.
That's it? Do you apologize?
No, you should apologize to me.
Do you admit you're wrong?
No, and that woman we're looking at over here has big hips.
Okay.
Get over it. Move on.
That and calls, and we'll move on the next Midday Live with Dr. Mike Catherwood on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, that's right. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're talking with Mitch Schwartz and Jeff Schwartz, two NFL linemen. The book is called Eat My Schwartz, Our Story of NFL Football, Food, Family, and Faith. Guys, there's a strong family element that runs through this book. Very interesting, showing great family values. In fact, in one of the pictures, there's a picture of the wedding with the chuppah and everything, and it says Super Bowl. This is the Super Bowl. How is it that you're able to focus so much on family while being in such a competitive sport? Jeff?
Well, I don't think it's very hard. I think people, overestimate a little bit how much time this sport takes. Training camp is very long and long hours, for your family, and then, only a couple of days during the week. But otherwise, you have, Monday and Tuesday and Friday night and sometimes Saturday if you're playing at home, and then you have the off season to be with your family. And, my wife's great. She has made sacrifices for my career, and but you make family time. At least I think that's important to succeeding in the NFL for a long time.
Now, you have to worry about injuries. Obviously, your family, your wife is concerned, your parents. Jeff, you've been injured quite a bit. In fact, there's a previous a Hall of Famer. You guys know the Hall of Famer, Jewish lineman? Who am I talking about, who played at SC and then played with the Chargers and a little bit with the Raiders? No takers? Ron Mix. You guys familiar with Ron Mix?
No.
Wow.
No.
You need to really learn about Ron Mix. So Ron Mix is a NFL Hall of Famer, and it says that he only was called twice for holding in a 10-year career. Do you think that's possible?
Yes.
It is. Okay. So Ron Mix apparently only was called twice for holding. He became a lawyer and represented football players in workers' compensation claims. Workers' compensation is the area of law that I practice, so I know Ron very well. He's a fine attorney and a Hall of Famer in the NFL, Jewish lineman from USC. And he's always given NFL players advice on how to handle injuries. Have you been told about workers' compensation and about claims, or is that something that just isn't on the radar of a player who is practice, who is playing now, and maybe it's just people who have retired, players who have been injured after the fact? Mitch?
No, we get told about that every year. You know, we have a meeting with the PA, and that's something that gets brought up. You know, they're looking out for our best interest. You know, so you can file in the state that you get injured, and you know, you got to know the rule for wherever you get hurt. There's a certain, obviously, time period of when you can file, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, the statute of limitations. So,
wow.
We do get informed about that. We do know about that, and it is something that is talked about at least once a year.
And Jeff, you've had obviously some pretty bad injuries. Have you? Would you echo Mitch's comments that you're aware of it, and is it something top of mind? Because unfortunately, injuries play a big role in the NFL, and then after the career.
Yeah, you know your statute of limitations for certain states for workman's comp. Well, it's part of your agent's job, and the PA does a good job of letting us know that we have to file when we have to file, things like that.
You know, one thing you should know, in the state of California, if your employer does not provide you with a claim form, it tolls the statute. The case is called the Reynolds case, and if you don't get a workers' compensation claim form, that means that you may be able to file after the fact. That's why we see so many players file years later. But hopefully, you know, you're going to be able to get back on the field. A couple last questions, because I know you guys have to run. You got practices to get to. Got a final preparations for your games. Well, at least Mitch does, and hopefully Jeff too at some point. Now, let me ask you this, guys. The movie Concussion comes out, and I know, Jeff, you've been on record saying that there's ways to prevent concussions and to consider your health. What is your view, and how do the players see it with respect to all the attention that's going on with concussion protocol on the field?
I think players are way more aware of the issues now. I see guys who have been concussed take themselves out of games, where when I got in the NFL, no one really did that. I think the league has done a good job of raising awareness. I mean, in the end, you know, it really comes down to the player, you know, pulling themselves out, because they're, you know, a lot of times they're hard to diagnose.
Now, did you guys see the movie Concussion?
No.
Well, maybe you should see it. Both of you didn't?
We lived that. I don't need to see it.
good point. That's an interesting point. I know you guys have to leave, so we're just going to close up. I want to talk just finally about the book. You know, we had Alan Dershowitz on not too long ago, and he said he had a Sandy Koufax moment. His Sandy Koufax moment was during the O.J. trial, when the verdict was going to be read. It happened to be on Yom Kippur, and he decided to stay away. He stayed home. He went to temple, and he did not partake in the reading of the verdict. He said that was his Sandy Koufax moment. With you guys, have you had that moment? How have you married the Jewish faith with your football careers? Jeff?
Yeah, I've had the it's happened a couple times. I've chosen to play. I really don't feel guilty about that at all. We only have a certain number of games to play in the NFL every season, and so it's hard to just miss one. You know, Koufax obviously did a remarkable thing, but he also pitched 3 games of that series, so he still got his 3 starts, and that he would have had if he'd played game 1. For an offensive lineman to just leave for a game and not be there, it would really be a disservice to your team.
And what about you, Mitch?
Same thing. I mean, you know, you only have this limited opportunity, so, you know, it's something that you kind of end up playing football, and it's your job at the end of the day, and there's still a few opportunities that you just can't lose any of those.
So finally, what's the takeaway from the book Eat My Schwartz, our story of NFL football, food, family, and faith? Jeff?
Well, I think it's a unique story about 2 NFLers. You know, there's not many Jews in the NFL, and where we embrace our faith and our family and food and obviously football. So it's just a unique journey. I think people will enjoy reading about us and learning about our family.
Mitch, what about you?
Yeah, I think it just has got a little bit of something for everybody. I mean, it kind of
takes you along the path of, you know, how two guys who really didn't think they would get to be in the NFL ended up where they are. And it's got a little bit of the food for people who like food, all the recipes in the back, and kind of just interweaving that. A good story about us and family and just growing up and just having fun together, really.
It's a great read. It just came out a couple of weeks ago. And it's available anywhere, right, guys? Amazon or however people buy their books?
Yes.
All right. So Jeff and Mitch have made a good case for food, family, and faith. They are shining lights in the NFL. Often we hear stories, negative stories about players. These are two positive guys. We wish you both all the luck in the NFL. Jeff, hopefully we'll be seeing you on the field shortly. And Mitch, good luck with the Kansas City Chiefs. And thanks for joining us here on Gervie's Law today.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Jeff and Mitch Schwartz. Two NFL brothers, Jewish brothers, linemen. The book is Eat My Schwartz. We are going to take a quick break. We will be back after this. You're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC News Talk Evolve.
Tell me what's troubling your mind.
Well, doctor, if I have to make another monthly payment for this timeshare that I never even use, I'm going to lose my mind. I've tried selling it, and no one wants it. It's even having a negative effect on my credit.
Have you considered calling Timeshare Cancel Team?
Timeshare Cancel Team?
Yes, they safely, legitimately, and legally help people rid themselves of the burden of timeshares.
Really? How?
Legally. Timeshare Cancel Team doesn't want to buy, donate it, or charge you for listing your timeshare. They're a legal company with a successful track record in getting people out of timeshare contracts. And they guarantee the results, or you don't pay.
That's amazing, doctor. How do I get in touch with them?
Go to timesharecancelteam.com or call 888-693-4076.
Thanks, doc. I feel so free now. You're the best.
Don't mention it. If you want to rid yourself of the financial burden of your timeshare guaranteed, call Timeshare Cancel Team now before you get another bill. For a free consultation, call 888-693-4076. 888-693-4076.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman. Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. This morning at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And we are back. It's Alan Gervie here on Gervie's Law. And we just had a really interesting interview with Mitch Schwartz and Jeff Schwartz, both Jewish linemen in the NFL. And, of course, the book is Eat My Schwartz, our story of NFL football, food, family, and faith. And we are really privileged right now to have with us Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, the intellectual assassin. He was National Jewish College Athlete of the Year, lineman for many years, and it is said that he was only called for holding twice in a 10-year career, played for the San Diego Chargers, the original Los Angeles Chargers, and Oakland Raiders for a short time. It's Ron Mix. Ron Mix, welcome to Gervie's Law.
And by the way, those were two bad calls. The referee should have been suspended.
Absolutely. You know, and I said to Mitch and Jeff, is it possible in this day and age to be called for holding twice in a 10-year career, and they said yes. So I don't know if the if they're just exaggerating, but you definitely had the technique down. Let's talk a little bit about being Jewish in the NFL way back when, where things were a little bit different. Did you find that there was anti-Semitism with respect to Jewish football players back then?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, one of the great things about athletics, I mean, there certainly was anti-Semitism throughout the United States. I mean, was like 1960 when I started. We're only 15 years removed from World War II, only 15 or 16 years removed from even the United States not accepting about 900 Jewish refugees who were on the ship
right.
called the St. Louis and turning them away, knowing that the concentration camps awaited them. So the nation as a group was still quite anti-Semitic, but athletics are a little different. Everybody comes from different backgrounds, socioeconomic, race, religion, and you all come together and you have common goals and you're working hard, you're experiencing the same thing, and all you do is judge the person by what they do on the field. Now, I saw that at the University of Southern California in 1959. The two co-captains of the team were myself and Willie Wood. And we were co-captains of the team at a time when 99% of the fraternities throughout the United States, and certainly at the University of Southern California, was no different, would not allow us to be admitted because I'm Jewish and
right.
and Willie is black.
Right.
But our white Christian teammates, they saw that we were the two best players to lead them, and they voted us as their captains. That's just the way it is in athletics.
And now that's very encouraging, Ron. Now, you have written about this experience, isn't that right?
Well, I don't know if I've written about that experience. I probably have. I've probably spoken about it. I have written about such things in the past. I did a tribute to my coach, Sid Gilman, after he died in 2003, And Sid, as you probably know, but maybe the general public doesn't know, he was he was Jewish, obviously,
right.
but he was an All-American end at Ohio State, and he became the head coach of the first head coach of the Chargers, and was a head coach there for approximately 10 years. And anyway, look, there's a Jewish tradition called Tikkum Olam.
Yes.
T-I-K-K-U-M-A-L-O-M. And some say it means heal the world essentially, but it really means that conduct your own life and how you are with others in an effort to improve the world and have social justice. And Sid Gilman, for instance, at a time when not only Sid Gilman, but Al Davis of the Raiders, at a time when there seemed to be a quota system on many teams in the NFL, is the number of black players
right.
at a time when early on when one of the teams in the 60s, the Washington Redskins, did not have a single black player. Al and Sid both, their only criteria was, can you play football? And so they brought in as many black players as possible who could cut it. And Sid, for instance, what he did, for our training camp, He roomed the players, assigned rooms by their positions, ostensibly, so that the offensive tackle could study plays with the
right,
other offensive tackle. It was a pretext. Sid told me that the real reason he did it was to just have a natural basis for social integration of blacks and whites.
Now, Ron, I just want to change gears for a quick second here because you have done your share of healing the world through your work as a lawyer. And the fact is that your football career provided you with the backdrop to help injured players in workers' compensation matters. Tell us how that evolved and how important it is to players who may get the short shrift from the NFL.
Well, it's not just NFL players. My firm represents our basic practice is representing retired players in workers' compensation claims in California. In fact, one of my attorneys is a former client and a former football player named Sean Stuckey. He played for New England and Minnesota. Brilliant guy. And but we represent basketball, any team sport, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, and naturally football also. But the injury rate for all the sports is very high. It's almost impossible to have a career of any length and not leave with some level of permanent disability. I mean impossible. And it's not just the football players. It's what causes it is the constant pounding a body takes when one is running, jumping, twisting, turning. For instance, the torque that a pitcher has to go through with his body to follow through, which tremendous strain on the low back, the hips, the knees.
Now, Ron, Mitch Schwartz and Jeff Schwartz said that they are given a lot of advice on workers' compensation matters as current NFL players. Do you believe that to be true, or do you think that really there's more education for players about filing claims for workers' compensation?
Well, I don't know how it is with more current, meaning those active right now as we speak. I do know that the vast, vast majority of our clients in all sports were not aware of their rights to workers' compensation benefits. And that's why there was California became the place to file claims, because in California, we required the employer to give notice to the injured worker of their rights to workers' comp
right.
benefits. And if they failed to do it and the worker was also not aware, then the statute of limitations, usually had 1 year to file a claim, was suspended until the athlete found out. On that basis, we filed claims for guys who played, candidly, 40 years ago,
right,
30 years ago. And we've hardly ever, and we've probably handled 2,000 claims, current clients and past clients, we've hardly ever run into a situation, hardly ever, where the teams have given the guys sufficient notice of their rights.
That's right, and that's very important to understand. Now, we have to run. We're talking to Ron Mix, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Jewish lineman, and attorney extraordinaire for workers' compensation, mostly for professional athletes. Now, Ron, our convention, the California Applicant Attorneys Association convention in the winter in January, is going to be in San Diego. Are we going to see you there?
You absolutely will. You absolutely will. But we're expanding the practice because my son is a former police officer for 11 years, and now we're expanding. He'll be taking over the practice along with Sean Stuckey. I'll be retiring. And
what about your daughter?
Well, it's interesting, but my daughter has become my son. Darcy was my daughter, and he is now Charles. He transgendered into a male.
Very interesting. Yes, and we've had a lot of shows on transgender rights, so that's interesting. Hopefully,
at any rate, so we're also expanding the practice to represent law enforcement and fire personnel.
Well, that is good news, because we need good lawyers representing both professional athletes and the police officers. I wish we had more time, because we've got lots to talk about. I'd love to talk to you about what's going on in the NFL with Colin Kaepernick and everything. Last word, yay or nay on Colin's protest?
Yay on the protest, nay on the forum that he selected. I think the focus is you can't distract the players' attention from the business at hand, the game itself.
Absolutely.
But I totally support his right. And it's great that he's got a social conscience
right.
and want to see some changes.
Absolutely. Ron Mix has it right there. Thanks, Ron. It's always great to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in San Diego in January.
Call anytime.
Okay.
Bye care. Now.
Bye-bye. And there you have it. Jeff Schwartz, Mitch Schwartz, and Ron Mix, three great NFL players, Jewish to boot. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. We'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.